and gentlemen, I think we are getting a clear picture, just like we talked about yesterday. I think we're getting a clear picture. Some of the fog is beginning to lift on the Democrat Party plan. What to do with Joe Biden, how to replace Joe Biden. Are they going to replace Joe Biden? I think we have a better idea of what's going on, especially after that big boy. He's a big boy. I'm a big boy press conference. I had a big boy press conference from yesterday. It's Friday, July 12, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters with 115 days until the presidential election. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. I think I have a pretty good idea what's going on behind the scenes, and other people are starting to talk about it. And if you noticed, yesterday I came out and I said it looks like Harris is actually looking like that's going to be the replacement. And now, after the big buy press conference, she is now the favorite above Joe Biden. So I think everybody's now starting to catch on to what's going on. But, you know, I meant to send this to the crew. They'll find it in 60 seconds. What is happening, and I've used this analogy before, but it's perfect. What is happening with the Democrat nomination right now is the scene out of the Dark Crystal where all the Skeksis are gathered around the Emperor, and they can see the Emperor is fading. And they can see the Emperor is almost going to crumble into dust. And so they're all kind of hunched over. And then the Emperor shoots up with the last gasp of energy. Says, I'm Emperor. Me, I'm Emperor. And then croaks. That's what we're witnessing. And Joe Biden is the Emperor. He has the Templar. But... And now he's fading into dust. And then you have the Obama wing over here and the Clinton wing over here looking at one another like, I am emperor. It's my time to be emperor. So you're basically witnessing this. We should actually watch the scene. The great Jim Henson. We should probably actually watch the scene at some point today. That's what's going on with the Democrat Party. And these are the three factors. The Biden crime family trying to cling on to the power of the emperor, but Biden is about to turn to dust. And then you have the Clinton faction over here and the Obama faction over here. And there's some signs, I think, to see who really still has the power in D.C. Bill doesn't give it... You know, he doesn't care anymore. It's all Hillary. Is it Hillary Clinton that wields the biggest stick? Is it her turn to be emperor? Is it Obama that still has the most influence? And what role will the Republican Party potentially play in all of this? And the answer to that will give us a clue as to the question of, well, why haven't the Republicans been going after Biden this whole time? Well, maybe they've been holding the ace in the hole for the Democrats. If the Democrats need the Republicans to move on Biden, then the Republicans will do it. And that would kind of be a big sign, wouldn't it? To see where that comes from. And then, I mean, I guess we'd have to ask ourselves, are we for it at that point or not? I mean, I don't know. And you'd kind of have to weigh everybody involved and really observe what they're doing. But that's kind of the outlier here, is that Biden and all of his crimes are just sitting there waiting to be revealed and brought to reality. And then the media can highlight them too. So we're going to get more into that. I got a ton of news. We got a guest coming up as well. The InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law, and IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the Deep Earth Crystal Pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
In the darkness of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
Yeah, I'm a big boy. That's a big boy, sir. I'm a big boy. I took a big boy poop. Yes.
Well, he sure did last night, didn't he? And it was probably not as bad as it could have been. But I think there's a couple factors as we kind of reflect on what happened last night at the big boy press conference. Joe Biden's a big boy. It's like the D.C. establishment making fun of him because they came up with that name. The Biden administration came up with the big boy name. And we got some of the flubs and some of the clips. But I think that we were all kind of missing because we tend, you know, we exist in our own skin. We exist in our own mind. We use our own eyes. So we've known Joe Biden has been a disaster. We've known Joe Biden has not been mentally, physically fit for years. And so, I mean, I guess at this point, based off of the reactions we're seeing, a lot of liberals, a lot of Democrats really just didn't get it. Just were in denial of it, didn't get it, you know, not paying attention, whatever. But they watched that just like they watched the debate. Just like they watched the Stephanopoulos interview and they're saying, okay, yeah, this guy, he's toast. It's kind of like Barack Obama once said, never underestimate Joe Biden's to F. I half censored that. I should have probably full censored that or not censored myself at all. Never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to muck-ish up. But this isn't about Joe Biden. This is about the average liberal. This is about the average Democrat. Never underestimate a Democrat's, a liberal, a progressive's ability to muck-ish up. And they mucked this deal up bad. They've been lying about Joe Biden. They've been covering for Joe Biden. And most of the Democrat voters, members of the media, Hollywood types, they believed it. They really believed their own propaganda. They really did. And that's why we're sitting here now and time is running out for the Democrats to remove Joe Biden. I think that it's hard to put a date on it because I read a bunch of stuff and there's all these different dates about, well, he has to be on this time in Nevada, this time in Wisconsin, this time in Ohio. And whichever way you slice it, they already know that their convention in mid-August is too late. So that's why they were going to do the virtual inauguration of Joe Biden, or nomination, rather, of Joe Biden on July 27th. So my best measurement is July 27th is the date. And if he's not the official nominee, or if he is the official nominee by August, let's say, then they've got to go with Biden. And the only way, based off of the laws, the only way they can put a new candidate on the ballot at that point, based off the law, is that if the candidate dies, that's the only way they can do it. And there's a couple other outliers and things that can happen, but like the wife or the vice president, but that would be the only other instance past that date that they could remove Joe Biden. Now, we'll get into the civil war that's happening in the Democrat Party right now. And I can explain that. And I have some evidence to back up my theories as well. But let's look at some of these highlights, or lowlights, rather. Here is maybe the most popular one from the big boy press conference. Joe Biden says that Donald Trump is his vice president in clip one.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh. I really just can't help but laugh. What is he trying to say there? I guess, because you have to translate it. What is he trying to say there? Is he trying to say that he picked Kamala Harris? The best guess is he's saying, I picked Kamala Harris because I believe that she would be a good president, or she's ready to be president. I mean, that's the best guess for the translation of what he's trying to say there. And he just, you know, he's got the... By the way, they're saying he has a stutter is what their excuse is now. So that's kind of funny. I guess they've been saying that for a couple weeks since the debate, that he's overcoming a speech impediment. Well, that's funny. He hasn't had one for his entire half a century in Congress. Now he has one all of a sudden. Of course, it's all a lie. There was never a speech impediment. And he didn't pick Kamala Harris because he believes she's ready to be president. He picked Kamala Harris for two reasons. One, because she's a, what's the politically correct way to say it? Woman of color? You know, we got to be sure here. Because she's a minority and a woman. And probably even for a little protection. Knowing that nobody really wants Kamala, or he assumed at that point nobody wanted Kamala to be president. That assumption at this point might be wrong, but that's why he really picked Kamala. Mamala had nothing to do with how ready she is. But okay, so is that, I guess that's what Biden says, but he says, oh, Vice President Trump. And it's just how bad he is. Just like when he called Zelensky Putin. Here's a close-up of Zelensky's face when he called him Putin in clip six.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
It's bad. And it's all over the Russian media today, making fun of Joe Biden, by the way. Here's the reaction from Biden's cabinet sitting front row at the big boy press conference. Look at the look on their faces when he calls Trump his VP in clip two.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president. But I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one. The fact is that...
You can see the shame. You can see the shock. You can see the horror. Nice. How about the way he opens the press conference? Just takes his script right out, shows it to people and says, hey, look... Here's my script for the press conference, clip four.
With that, I'll take your questions. I've been given a list of people to call on here.
He's been given the list. Now, let me take a step back because I got off track. What is it about this press conference that is really the most important? You already know Joe Biden is failing. The narrative that Joe Biden needs to be replaced is already the top story. But the average American that's tuned in, the ignorant American that's tuned in, the fence sitter that's tuned in, the undecided voter that's tuned in, what did they see? They saw a president standing up there with not low energy, no energy, the most boring thing you've ever seen, and perhaps the most important thing, every single... Except, let's say there were 10 questions. I think it was about 10 or 12 questions. Let's say it was 10. Eight of the 10 were about him needing to step down. Eight of the 10. We're not talking about policy success. We're not talking about policy for 2024. We're not talking about an agenda. We got into a little bit of some foreign relations stuff, but barely. That was just kind of on the edge of the question of should you step down. So to the undecided voter, they watched this and they saw Joe Biden, a doddering old man, and then they saw everybody asking, hey, why won't you step down? How does that look? So that's what the undecided voter saw last night. And that's why the odds in Vegas for Joe drastically went down and went way up for Kamala Harris last night. Now, this is an interesting one. This is at the end of the big boy press conference. Listen to what he says at the end here. He wasn't supposed to take this question, by the way. This was at the end of the press conference. All the press stood up and started yelling at Joe, and he kind of gets distracted like a dog that sees a squirrel run by, and he kind of gets wide-eyed. And then when he actually stares at one of the reporters, he gets to kind of ask the question before Joe Biden gets out. So this was the only non-scripted question. At the end of the press conference, he's closed his script. He's trying to get off the stage, but then there's all the noise. This is why they didn't allow a crowd at the debate, because the noise distracts Joe, and then he gets kind of wild-eyed, and then he just gets distracted, and then after a couple of moments, he focuses on one person, and the media knows, like, oh, that's my cue. I get to talk. So here's Joe after the press conference, all the noise and confusion in the room, and then he finally is able to zoom in. I think it's Scott Pelley, or it's – I forget who it is. No, it's not Scott Pelley. I don't remember. But he zooms in on the one guy, and the guy's like, oh, I get it now. I get to ask the final question. And so this is maybe the most telling moment here at the end in clip three.
You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me. No one's saying that. No poll says that.
Mr. President,
okay. Thanks.
This ends tonight's press conference. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. So, two things here. The polls actually do say that. The polls actually do say that Kamala Harris has a better chance to beat Trump than Biden. So the polls do say that. Then he says, unless somebody tells me I can't win, I'm not stepping down. Well, anybody who's been paying attention just in the last 48 hours, but you could even say 2 weeks since the debate, anybody who's been paying attention in the last 48 hours will tell you dozens of people have said he can't win. Democrats have said he can't win. Democrat donors have said he can't win. Democrat members of the media have said he can't win. Now, Joe Biden lied the entire speech. In fact, Judge Joe Brown put this statement out afterwards. A new low. I've been around for a few years. My major at UCLA was political science. I've worked in many political campaigns and advised many candidates. I've never seen such outright lies and misstatements of law as I'm seeing from the Democrat Party. And that was basically a good summary of Joe Biden lying last night. Oh, the border's more secure under my administration than anyone ever. What? It's the exact opposite. But I'm not going to sit here and break down all the Biden lies. He says, in response, if somebody came to me and said I had no chance of winning, then I would step down. So is that, I mean, again, he's lying because that's already been said. But so if somebody goes to Joe Biden today, here's Joe Biden. By the way, they had the short stairs. They brought out the handicap stairs for Joe. Guys, just give me, you can just B-roll clip five and put it on the screen. This is just Joe Biden this morning after the big boy press conference. He's getting on the handicap stairs. He's got the short stairs. Can't climb the big stairs. So big boy press conference, but can't climb the big boy stairs. So if somebody comes up to Joe, according to Joe, if somebody comes up to Joe and says, hey, you can't beat Trump, then he'll drop out of the race. That's what he said. But nobody's saying that.
But nobody's saying that.
Is that a good Biden impression? So, okay. So now are people going to be calling him saying, hey, you can't beat Trump. You need to drop out. He said, what are you talking about, Jack? Well, that's what you said last night. Okay. Now, let's get into the big development going on now. The civil war inside the Democrat Party. And we've been alluding to this for a couple weeks now, but now the fog is starting to clear, and I think we have a good picture of what's going on. There's virtually three factions right now engaged in this civil war inside the Democrat Party. There's the Clinton faction, there's the Obama faction, and there's the Biden faction. And to try to summarize it, the Clinton faction would be kind of the elder Democrats, the elder statesmen of the Democrat Party, and just old Clinton loyalists that maybe she's promised a job. And to just kind of get this out of the way, I think it's clear at this point that side of the war is losing badly and probably shot. And then there's the Obama faction, which is where if there was anybody on the fence, here's a good example. Look at Alex Soros, comes out and endorses Biden. That would be somebody you'd think would be maybe in the Hillary camp. He comes out and endorses Biden. So if Soros Aberdeen is not even going to war for Clinton right now, then she's probably shot. But then there's the Obama, which is kind of the pop culture wing, the Hollywood wing. And I think there's a lot of bureaucrats. I think there's a lot of DCites that maybe could be Team Hillary, maybe could be Team O'Biden. But they're going with Obama because he's still the cool guy. He's still the most popular. He still has the most influence. And I think that's where Kamala Harris is at now, too. I think Harris is a member of the Obama camp. And, you know, they both were just at the USA men's basketball thing. You don't think for one second, because all Obama wants to do is run things from behind the scenes and then go out on his yacht and go paddleboarding and, you know, play golf and dap it up with basketball players or whatever else he's into. And then when he needs to, get on the phone and have a policy discussion or, you know, whenever he's needed, he'll play the role. But he's just kind of the puppeteer behind the scenes living his life. So you don't think for one second Obama and Kamala and Obama saying, hey, I can make you president. Would you like to be president? Would you like to be the first black woman president? I can do that for you, you know. You don't think for one second that Harris is going to jump at that opportunity? Seeing how doddering Biden is, seeing how he's falling apart, seeing herself rising in the polls? Absolutely, Kamala would cut a deal with Obama to get his support behind the scenes and get Biden out of the way. So what does Obama have? What is his role in this? Well, all he has to do is use his power and influence to get Biden out. And then Kamala steps in. That's what's going on right now. So I think we're about to see this quickly. Harris is basically going to be representing the Obama faction of the Democrat Party. And then I think Michelle Obama gets on the ticket. And I explained why yesterday. I would say at this point, I was 50-50. I would say at this point, it's Harris-Obama, not Obama-Harris. I think it's Harris-Obama. That way, Michelle doesn't really have to do anything with policy or campaign. Harris is already the VP. She's already campaigning. So you're kind of, you're not really worried about that issue. And as I said yesterday, and do not doubt me on this, liberals will see Obama on a ticket. They will see Obama on a campaign sign in the front yard, and they will literally think it's Barack and go vote. Absolutely, 100%. A dumbass liberal that just watches TV and entertainment bullcrap and propaganda that doesn't know anything will see political yard signs that say Harris Obama, and they'll literally think Barack Obama is running again. Do not doubt me on this. Do not underestimate how uninformed and dumb liberals are. Okay, we've all seen the videos of liberals being interviewed and on the streets. They don't even know five states. They don't even know seven continents. They don't even know north and south. They don't even know basic math. You know, so, I mean, yes. And everybody said, well, Michelle said she wouldn't run for president. Well, did she say vice? Did she say vice? And maybe it's not Michelle. But I think at this point, Harris is who they're going to go with. That's what I think the leading horse is as we stand here on this Friday, July 12th. Then there's the Biden wing. And the only people going to bat for Joe Biden right now is the Biden crime family. And Jill and Hunter mostly. And they're convincing Joe to stay in the race. They're convincing Joe, you've got it. We've got your back. So that's basically the Civil War. Now, I think Hillary, if she was trying to get in or maybe is still trying to get in, I think that's been snuffed out quickly. Because she's got her own problems, and maybe this is where Obama's influence comes in. And if she tries to get involved, Obama says, hey, you know, you've got some issues over here. You wouldn't want us to bring you down, would you? Hey, we don't want to do this, but if you try to get involved, this party is mine now, Hillary. This party is mine now, Hillary, not yours. You had your shot, you lost, you're done. Court just nailed Hillary Clinton for FEC violation. 4 times bigger than Trump's 130,000 so-called violation. Hers was 6 million. Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that 2016 Hillary Clinton campaign and an affiliated super PAC violated federal election law in spending that totaled close to 6 million. Yeah. Hey, Hillary, you want to get involved? How about a little action from the D.C. Court of Appeals? Still want to get involved, Hillary? There could be more, you know. Clinton 2016 campaign and liberal super PAC cross spending lines, court rules. Oh, yeah, and remember this little ditty? DNC Clinton campaign agreed to steal dossier funding fine. They paid for the fake steal dossier that started the whole Russian collusion nonsense. Yeah, they could bring that back up, too. So I think Hillary's idea that she's going to get back involved here is probably shut out by Obama's influence. Now, Hillary is a kleptocrat and potentially completely psychotic. And we all know about the Clinton body count. So you know, who knows what Hillary tries to do. But, okay, what about the Biden faction? Donors to pro-Biden super PAC are said to withhold roughly $90 million, so they're not giving him the money anymore. Only Kamala can spend that money, by the way. And what donors do you think are holding that money back? The Obama donors. Hakeem Jeffries reportedly did not offer Biden his endorsement in private meeting. Do you think Hakeem Jeffries is talking to the Obama wing? Oh, yeah. The Civil War Democrat Party is on. And I think Obama is leading the race, and his influence has the most pull right now. And that's why I think Harris has now leapt ahead of Biden in the polls. And I think she's feeling it.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
When we came out with Nitric Boost 3 years ago, it was a sleeper product. I didn't even promote it. But as listeners began to use it, it has become one of our top-selling products because of the incredible results they get. If you want to give your cardiovascular system a leg up, if you want to go in and help clean out and purify your blood, ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost is the way to go. You've heard Dr. Judy Mikovits talk about how it's an amazing formula. This is what she's recommended to people. Ladies and gentlemen, it does so many great things. Like, but you notice what happens in the morning. If you're a man, I feel like I'm 16 years old again.
When I was 16, I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
Nitric Boost is simply amazing. It's great for women as well. Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off. But that is a limited time sale. But right now, it's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you all for your support.
Lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Back then. Hey, baby. There ain't no easy way.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Always talk about how I don't have the black support. Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch.
I got a lot of that. I got hairy legs. That turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
I don't care if he's pooped his pants.
My butt's been white.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Yeah, Biden had a bad day, but this guy couldn't tell the truth if it split his lip.
What did Trump do? Why?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's time to take a stand. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
We got the scenes. This is behind the scenes Civil War Democrat Party. This is unbelievable footage, folks. We've got it exclusively for you right now. Go ahead and roll clip 18.
He's not dead yet, my Lord Chamberlain.
Here, bow.
My dear. I am still emperor. I
as Biden is decaying into dust. The rest of the Democrats looking over. I am emperor. I should be emperor now. All right, we just covered the civil war going on in the Democrat Party. We're now joined by Brianna Morello, and she actually has an exclusive story that she's going to be sharing with us. But first, let's get your reaction to the big boy press conference, and then he took the little boy steps to get on Air Force One. Do you agree? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you think there's a civil war happening behind the scenes right now in the Democrat Party, and Obama is winning?
Yeah, he is. And I think it's interesting because we saw, you know, Joe Scarborough kind of going at it yesterday on air and saying that he thinks Barack Obama is the one behind all of this. And I couldn't tell if he was authentically upset about it or was just trying to just protect Joe Biden. He's been doing that, obviously, for the last few months now, or the last few years, I should say. And so he was going after Barack Obama a bit and throwing him under the bus. I'm enjoying this, though, Owen. We rarely get to see this inner fighting over at their side of things. And so being able to sit back and watch it, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree. I've made the analogy that it's like we're on the school bus and the bus driver is wearing a clown wig and he's just polished off his second bottle of whiskey and he's like speaking gibberish. And you're like, oh, my gosh, the bus driver. But then you also kind of, it's hilarious. But then you're also like, oh, wait, I'm on the bus, though. It's like that meme where he looks over at the guy in the car and he's like, what is going on? And then the other guy looks at him. He's like, yeah, this is pretty crazy. So, I mean, that's kind of what it feels like.
Driver. Yeah, I think I'd rather the bus driver, though, running this country at this point. I mean, it's kind of scary that the guy who just called his VP Trump is the one who's supposedly running the country. Obviously, we know he's probably not, but that was really bad. I mean, even calling Zelensky President Putin, I mean, there's no returning from that one.
Yeah, and the Russian media is all over it as well. And I think that, I mean, at this point, it's like, look, Joe Biden is still the presumptive nominee. Joe Biden controls the delegates. The Democrats have about 2 weeks to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But it is hard to imagine. I mean, this is short-term memory stuff. This isn't January, February, March, where people forget about it by November. You know, this stuff is going to stick with people. Joe Biden forgetting where he is. Joe Biden forgetting his vice president. Joe Biden forgetting who Zelensky is. I mean, this is stuff that people are not going to forget. I really don't know how Biden recovers from this. He's just clinging to it at this point.
Yeah, I think he has to drop out at this point. You know, you just spoke about it before the break regarding that big PAC that's now going to be starting to freeze up its money and not giving Joe Biden that $90 million that it's raised. I think that's interesting in itself because that's going to be the finances behind this is what's going to push him out the door. I thought by now, though, the intel community would have leaked Joe Biden's medical records, but they haven't. And so that to me is concerning. You know, we did see those reports regarding who was visiting the White House. The expert over at the Parkinson's expert, I should say. And ultimately that was based on just public record, but it's kind of interesting to see if they ever will leak those details because they've been protecting him for over 5 years now. They knew that there was something wrong with this man and they just protected him. And it's disgusting that it's still going on right now with some, you know, I was listening to Rachel Maddow yesterday, kind of pretending like Joe Biden is this mastermind behind foreign policy. And she really sat there and tried to sell it to her audience. But you have to admit at this point, the couple of thousand people who are still watching them, they can't be fooled. There's no way at this point. You can hate President Trump all you want, but you can't be a complete moron. I have a little bit of faith in the American people. I know most of us don't these days, but maybe the left, there's still some redeemable qualities about them.
Well, I would say the only people still tuning into Rachel Maddow are probably already morons. So I really don't know anybody that would still be tuning into her and taking her seriously other than maybe somebody that wants some comic relief. But I think the one outlier here, I didn't get into this in the last segment. I'll get into this now. And you're in touch with a lot of D.C. Republicans. The one kind of outlier here that would tell us maybe Mike Johnson, maybe somebody else. I don't want to say any names, make any assumptions here. But, you know, the Republicans have slow walked revealing the Biden crime family. And I think it really makes us wonder why. Well, let's say all of a sudden the Republicans decide to release more information and show the Biden crime family, then the Democrats embrace it. And now all of a sudden, oh, OK, the media gets to report it. I mean, if that happens, then it's like, wow, even the D.C. Republicans are in on the swap. That would have me asking a lot of questions. But I think that's kind of the outlying factor here, because that stuff is just sitting right out there. The bank records, 10% for the big guy, foreign lobbying.
I think Hunter is in court in September. So that'll be too late. I mean, but that's kind of the outlier here. It's like all the dirt is sitting right there in D.C.
Yeah, and that September trial that's going to come up soon, that's actually the really important one, because that's all about the taxes that he was trying to avoid paying. And so that's going to bring up all the skeletons for Joe and everyone else in the Biden crime family. So it'll be interesting to see that kind of unravel. At this point, though, you know, there's all these reports regarding Hunter Biden still having the main influence behind Joe these days. And I think at this point, you mentioned it too, Hunter and Jill, they both need they need Joe to work out a great deal for all of them, or their whole family is immune to prosecution, because they're open right now. And if they don't get some type of, you know, pardons or some kind of guarantee that they won't be prosecuted, if Joe voluntarily steps out of all of this, they're in a lot of trouble. And so I think that's what we're seeing here. I think they're just trying to play their cards and trying to get some type of great deal behind the scenes going for them. Because ultimately, I mean, Hunter Biden is probably going to go to jail for a couple of years if nobody jumps in. I mean, that gun case that he was facing, those three convictions on those three charges, I mean, that is telling. He's facing up to 25 years in prison on those charges. The tax case is coming up in September, like you just said, that's even worse.
Well, and I think maybe we've underestimated Hunter Biden to an extent dealing with the Ukraine stuff, because the more I look at it and the more I think about it, I think Joe Biden was deeply embedded in Ukraine, and Hunter was his rat hole for the whole thing. So Hunter has to be involved in this. I don't think it's a coincidence that as soon as Biden gets into office, hundreds of billions of dollars are going to Ukraine. I mean, this seems like pretty obvious. Biden is using Ukraine for himself, his family, and who knows who else as a rat hole to launder money.
Yeah. And you know what? I took it as he finally admitted that Ukraine's losing this war yesterday when he called Zelensky Putin. I mean, he ultimately said that he is the leader of Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is losing this war, and we have the cooperation between not only our federal government, but also the media involved here, telling the American people that they're not losing this war, that they do stand a chance at defending democracy and standing and protecting their country. They're losing. They're going to lose land. There's nothing else they could do about it at this point. So like you mentioned, they're trying to keep the money going and funneling in all they can at this point. But there's got to be a point where we sit there and say, okay, enough is enough. Are they actually winning this? The American people need to ask these basic questions. It sounds good that you're supporting Ukraine if you don't understand actually what's going on there right now, which I know most Americans don't, because they've been kind of brainwashed by the corporate media. But ultimately, it is a funneling business deal that's going on right now. I believe that float that they also just had over in Gaza, too, that
shut down, supposed to give- decommissioned, $230 million down the drain. All right, we'll come back from this break and get into your breaking exclusive. Very important stuff for January 6th event. We'll be right back.
Let's go to Nurse Keith in Oregon. You're on the air. Welcome, and thanks for holding.
About an hour ago, you were kind of explaining to people about how the micronutrients and stuff that are available in different foods actually had an effect on...
let's be clear. There isn't long-term billion-year evolution. There's jumps, but how you build a car, or cars have evolved, or electricity or computers have changed. There is innovation, and humans do get ancestral memories from their ancestors. That's called instincts. Yes.
Not trying to brag, but I'm a board certified wound care associate, which is not an easy certification to get. It takes years. And it encompasses, you know, cardiology, endocrine, pulmonary, you name it. You've got to be good at all kinds of stuff. And let's face it, a lot of my doctors, they don't know anything about this stuff. It's my job as a nurse to figure it out. And
the average medical doctor gets 2 hours of college education on nutrition.
So one of the things that I do is I'm looking for results. And by using very good nutraceuticals and supplements and things like that, I can fix a problem. Give you just a real quick example. Let's say you have a really bad wound on your leg and you have diabetes and poor circulation. Well, I can order you a bottle of Nitric Boost, a bottle of Bezo Beat, and get your ass up on a treadmill a little bit. But these things work better than any of the medication that we give. So I've got about 35,000 points, because I gave these things away as gifts.
Hold on. This is important. Absolutely. Just iodine alone that's essential. It means you die without it. They don't tell you most people are deficient. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities, the UN admits. That's what these concentrated plants and other compounds do. So you're saying you're taking care of people with wounds, one of the biggest medical industries out there, super tough job. You're seeing with nutrition, and also they need to not be sedentary, obviously. You're seeing massive effects, because I've actually read about this. I'm not an expert like you, but that there's massive problems because the doctors don't even say exercise or get out of the bed or take supplements that are good for your skin. And it's so simple. I mean, my wife takes supplements to have good hair and good nails, and it really works for her. I mean, this stuff works. It's the compounds. Tell people about some of the things you've witnessed.
Alex, I would not have 35,000 Patriot points if this stuff didn't work. I'm not into buying BS, and I don't push BS. When I've got a complex wound and I see something that you guys sell that I know perfectly fits, I love vitamin C and zinc. It's simple stuff, but the difference is the things that you guys sell versus what I buy at Walmart, they're not even in the same game. The stuff that you guys sell is legit.
We can sell the stuff Walmart sells, synthetic stuff, and the bottle costs more than what they're selling. With us, some of these products are costing us $30 a bottle, like DNA Force, okay? I mean, so there's cost because it is the highest rated.
If you're taking a nitrate, like you were talking about the nitrate boost, that is going to vasodilate. So when you're vasodilated, yeah, you're going to be pitching a proper 10. The VasoBeat does the exact same thing. But it also helps if I've got a person who's got really poor perfusion, and I just want to get their blood flow going so that I can keep this wound from going septic and actually get some granulation going. Or I could throw all the medications at it. Not going to do a damn thing. The doctors see the patient for 10 minutes, write a prescription, and say, okay, come back in 45 days. And it's my job to actually go figure it out. And so I use a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Nurse Keith. We'll talk to you soon. Get his name and number.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, Brianna Morello with us. She's got some big news here dealing with a January 6th defendant, Stuart Rhodes, and how wrong he's been by the Justice Department. Now, I'm going to let her tell this story, and I'm sure she's aware of this as much as I am. I'm not going to say too much about this for obvious reasons, but let me just say, every time you scratch the surface of these things, there's somebody behind the scenes going after January 6th defendants that wasn't even born in the United States of America. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But Brianna, you've got a big exclusive here with Stuart Rhodes' defense, who's currently in prison. I think he might even have had the longest sentence for the January 6th persecutions. So what can you tell us?
Yeah, he has the second largest. Enrique Tarrio is in jail now for prison for 22 years. Stuart Rhodes was sentenced to 18. Both of those men didn't enter the Capitol, and obviously Tarrio wasn't even there that day. But it highlights the persecution that's going on all around our country. Now, as many of you probably are familiar, Stuart Rhodes was one of the first J6 defendants that was put on trial in those biased DC courts. He was one of four other co-defendants put on trial, and most of them, actually, some of them didn't even know each other. But ultimately, what took place in that courtroom was, well, a very biased judge and a very biased prosecutor who was looking to persecute Stuart Rhodes for, well, going to a rally that day because he didn't do anything else. They accused Stuart Rhodes of orchestrating what took place on January 6th. The prosecutor in that case said that Stuart Rhodes instructed members, his soldiers, to go into the Capitol, but they didn't have any evidence to back that. And instead, they actually saw evidence that didn't back that, and they knew about it. And sadly, Judge Mehta, who happens to be a Obama appointee, was the judge that actually blocked critical pieces of information from being seen by the jury. Now, I got my hands on an email that was sent by Jeffrey Nestler. Jeffrey Nestler is an individual who was the lead prosecutor in this case. And ultimately, Jeffrey, in his own words, as he's emailing the defense attorneys, is ultimately admitting that prior to January 6th, he's looked at the call logs, the chat logs. He has no evidence that Stuart Rhodes ever instructed anyone to go into the Capitol that day. And it gets even worse. During the criminal trial, there were several witnesses put on the stand, even members of the FBI. And Stuart Rhodes, who I remind our audience, was a criminal defense attorney. He also did graduate from two Ivy League schools, I believe. He and his legal defense team put on a great defense, but it's in front of a DC jury. So again, they're very biased. That email wasn't shown to the jury. The judge in that case actually blocked it, but he couldn't block the cross-examination that was taking place in that courtroom. Now, Stuart Rhodes' attorneys really grilled those FBI agents in all of this, ultimately calling them out by saying, did you guys see in the communications any type of dialogue going on through Signal, through emails, through any of that, from Rhodes to members of the Oath Keepers hung him to go inside the Capitol? And even CNN had to honestly report on that when it took place in the courtroom. Now, this all took place with FBI, with one of the lead FBI agents from January 6th, Whitney Drew. Whitney Drew was grilled, and she had to admit there were no emails, there were no Signal messages. She had no proof that Rhodes orchestrated what took place on January 6th. Which completely blows their case, because Rhodes was obviously charged and later convicted of sedition and conspiracy and obstruction of an official proceeding. Again, did not go into the Capitol, but they still charged him with that. And of course, DC jury convicted him on that front. But then something very interesting happened during the trial. And I spoke to his attorneys about this because I thought it was deeply concerning. But they put witnesses on the stand who were individuals who said that they were Oath Keepers, and they had now flipped and taken plea agreements with the government to discuss this openly in front of the jury during that first trial. Individuals named, one of them named Jason Dolan. Jason Dolan actually went on the stand and testified that, well, Stuart Rhodes didn't verbally tell them to go into the Capitol that day. It was just kind of implied is how they phrased it, apparently, according to the defense attorneys. And that's what blew up their legal defense, just saying that the thought crime is what really Stuart Rhodes was guilty of. And it wasn't just Stuart Rhodes. It was also Kelly Meggs, who was sentenced to 12 years in prison. It's absolutely disgusting. And again, sadly, the judge in that case, Judge Mehta, actually rushed the prosecution. They made them go to court. They made them go to trial when they weren't ready. The defense kept saying, we're not ready. You're putting five people on the defense right now. We haven't been able to look at all the footage. We haven't gotten all the evidence. And they tried their hardest to fight back. But unfortunately, Judge Mehta, that Obama-appointed judge, forced them to go forward. And sadly, they didn't have all the video footage. Many of you guys are familiar, obviously Nancy Pelosi and others, held back a lot of that critical J6 footage. Now, Stuart Rhodes' attorneys, they're appealing, obviously, and they're going to fight back. It's very obvious. And, you know, we're going to have all that footage next week, but it's very obvious the prosecutors in this case withheld evidence, and it looks like Stuart Rhodes was under surveillance that day. There's footage of Capitol footage of Stuart Rhodes in the frame talking to somebody who was a reporter that day, and he's giving a very just friendly interview to a woman who's asking questions. And then all of a sudden he steps out of frame and somebody physically adjusts the camera. So that's going to be the footage that drops next week. Now, it's not just that they did. They also withheld there was also perjury that happened during that trial as well. Two Capitol police officers lied on the stand. We know that because they placed themselves in strategic places. And one of them, Officer David Lazarus, said he witnessed an interaction between two Oath Keepers, Kelly Meggs and Ken Harrelson, and that during that interaction with Officer Harry Dunn, that it was a very aggressive interaction. Now, this is what's so interesting about that. Harry Dunn actually filled out a form and really defended Kelly Meggs and Ken Harrelson and said initially that they actually helped him with an aggressive group of J6 protesters that day. Now, interesting enough, that form vanished and it was never put forward in front of the jury during the trial. And the judge actually threatened the defense team if they actually made that available for the jury, if they even mentioned that during the trial. Because ultimately Harry Dunn and Officer Lazarus gave testimony that day that we now know was false. And it was the exact opposite of what Harry Dunn wrote in that statement. Now, this is all deeply concerning, but I wanted to play a brief clip if we have it available. I spoke with Ken Harrelson, who was just recently released from federal prison. And during my interview, Ken Harrelson, who was not able to testify because he would have incriminated himself potentially, says that there's even more evidence that sadly Stuart Rhodes did not do what the prosecutors accused him of doing, that in fact Stuart told them that they were stupid for going into the Capitol that day. And well, I'll let him take it away from there. Take a listen.
When we came out of the building and we told Stuart that we'd helped the police officer and that, you know, we didn't see anything really violent take place, Stuart Rhodes looked at us and went, well, that was kind of stupid. You should have never done that. And it was like, well, the doors just opened. What, we didn't, were we not allowed to go into the building? You know what I mean? So, but that's just to kind of like look at things. You know what I mean? Stuart Rhodes, you know, he didn't go into the building. You know, he told us we were stupid for doing it. He gets 18 years.
It's heartbreaking, Owen, when you hear that, because that's the same story I heard from Kelly Meggs. I've communicated with most of these defendants, even while they're in federal prison right now, and they're all echoing the same thing, but they don't have any way to communicate with one another. So I'm hearing the same thing across all of these channels. And sadly, the
problem is this evidence blocked from the courtroom?
The problem is they put them all on trial together. So they were all co-defendants. So if Ken Harrelson went on the stand and said that in front of the jury, he'd be potentially incriminating himself. And that's what they had to avoid personally. They couldn't do that. And so it was one of the many reasons why they did that. You know, originally the prosecutors actually wanted to put, I think, I believe it was over 22 defendants all in one trial. I mean, they didn't have the physical capacity to do that. And so that's why they had to split up these trials. I believe there was three of them, but ultimately they were trying to push it through as quick as possible, make it as messy as they could with all these individuals crammed in the defense quarter, and then having to have multiple attorneys over there arguing it. And then eventually it taints the jury's vision of all of this, because the jury's now wondering, well, what was Stuart Rhodes accused of? What was Kelly Meggs accused of? What was Ken Harrelson accused of? But that's the reason why they did it. They wanted to make it extremely confusing. And a lot of the evidence that was presented during their trial too was factually incorrect, but they were able to get away with it because they rushed it.
Well, unfortunately, I know about this all too well at a personal level. And you know, what's unfortunate is it just shows how heartless these people are. And I'm not even sure who's aware of how politically motivated this is and who isn't, but the ones that are aware that are putting people in jail and ruining people's lives based off political motives, it is truly heartless. It is truly soulless. And you just hope that you hope we learn our lesson from this and it doesn't get worse, because it could. Well, Brianna, we thank you for joining us. Happy birthday. Brianna was nice enough to join us on her birthday, and we also promised we'd have her out by happy hour. So we did it. We did it. Happy birthday. Thanks for your report today.
Thank you, Owen. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got more news on the other side, including a statement from Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
Survival Shield X3 is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons why you should be considering this product. Frankly, not even considering it, just getting it at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we know that nascent iodine supports thyroid health. Now, our thyroid is responsible for several things associated with our health, namely detoxifying, purifying the body, and eliminating the chemicals that we're exposed to, whether they're chemicals in our air, or chemicals in our water, or chemicals in our food. Nascent iodine is key in giving our body and our thyroid the strength and power that it needs to detoxify these terrible chemicals from the way that we are exposed to them in the environment. Now, not only is this nascent iodine incredible for our thyroids, but X3 is specifically designed to be as effective as possible, because Survival Shield X3 includes three different types of iodine for one specific reason: to ensure bioavailability. We know that different people have different genes. Some genes are more prone to being able to absorb nascent iodine than others. So we've included three different types of nascent iodine in Survival Shield X3 to ensure that your body is able to absorb and integrate at least one of them into your functioning so that you can be as efficient and healthy as possible. Now, it's not only important to buy Survival Shield X3 because it does things like support thyroid health, or because it does things like support detoxification or the enhanced bioavailability, but also because by getting this product, Survival Shield X3, from InfoWarsStore.com, you are supporting InfoWars itself. We know that this is a critical time for our country. We know that we have one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of all time, coming up this November. And so by getting Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you supporting your health and your body's ability to detoxify itself and power its thyroid system, but you are supporting InfoWars and keeping InfoWars on the air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get Survival Shield X3, support your thyroid health, detoxify your body, keep InfoWars on the air, and frankly, save humanity.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.